Today on Real Life Radio.
The truth is, listen, God gives us a break. Why? To infuse into the story hope, grace, mercy. Because this portion has been such full of, you can clap for that. Hope, grace, and mercy. Absolutely. That is a big amen, and I love that.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on the book of Revelation with a message called When God Takes a Break, Part 1. You know, we can't pick up the Bible without reading of God's love, His grace, and His mercy to a rebellious and fallen world that is lost in its sin and failure to follow God. You see, when God takes a break from what's currently happening in Scripture, it's not because He's tired. In the case of the Great Tribulation, it's a break that God uses to extend an offer of grace and salvation to a suffering world. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when God takes a break, He pauses to prepare His word to the world. The pause from the terrifying scene of the Great Tribulation is to impart His grace and mercy to those remaining on the earth. And now in his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The word angel here, angelos, doesn't mean angelic being with wings. It means a messenger sent from heaven to make an announcement. It's not necessarily, listen, not necessarily an angel like Michael or Gabriel. Whoever he is one dispatched from heaven with an announcement to be given to earth. That's all we know about him at this moment. So scholars will say he's a very mighty angel. He certainly is. But when we analyze the word angelos, angel, we also know that the word applies to not only angels with wings from heaven, you know, but also the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, which is called a theophanies, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ before Bethlehem's manger. That's true. Christ appeared in the Old Testament before Abraham, for example, before Joshua, for example, and it was announced that he was the angel of the Lord. That's very true as well. But also in the book of Revelation, the opening chapters, 2 and 3, it says that the angel to the church at Philadelphia. And we know that that angel is none other than the pastor of the church at Philadelphia back there during the time of Christ. So the word has a broad application. So who is this? Well, let's keep reading. But this we know, that the message is by divine delivery. Are you with me? Note that. No matter who it is, the message comes by divine delivery. When the word says another mighty angel, this word in the Greek is another of a different kind. So he's someone of a great order, other than your run-of-the-mill angel, if I could say such a thing. The run-of-the-mill angel. I'm sure if we saw an angel right now, we'd pass out. Daniel saw an angel and he got sick to his stomach and he laid sick in bed for many days. Isn't that weird? That's wild. So if an angel, for example, would be one who delivers a message, let's put it in these terms. An angel from heaven delivers a message. Let's call that angel the Los Angeles Times. That is a messenger of a certain order. Are you with me? But if someone comes to your door wearing a Federal Express outfit, that is still a message, right? Coming to you from a different order or from a different dispatch. Are you with me? You have Federal Express. That's one way of getting a message. And then you have the Los Angeles Times. You get a message, but it's of a different order. This angel is as different from Federal Express and the LA Times as a run-of-the-mill angel to this divine messenger. I've belabored that, but I think you got it. Notice his origin. He comes out of heaven. Isn't that a great relief? Whew, after last week, were you here last week? Of these things coming out of the bottom of the Euphrates River, freaking us out? Man, I'm glad there's a break. As a pastor, I'm preaching all this stuff of chapter 8 and 9. It's like, man, let's move on. Well, great. These angels come out of heaven. This one, certainly, out of heaven. When God has desired to speak to mankind, my friend, the origin of God's messages are always out of heaven. Always. That's important to keep in mind. Keep this in your footnotes or in your notes. When God speaks, He speaks out of heaven. Genesis 22:11. When God spoke, He spoke to Abraham out of heaven. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. God spoke to Abraham out of heaven. When God spoke to Moses, that's Exodus 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. We know that that's Jesus. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Ladies, have you noticed when he spoke to Abraham? Abraham, Abraham. He speaks to Moses. Moses, Moses. Whenever God speaks to a man, he always repeats himself. Just like you have to say, honey, honey. The first honey we don't hear, and we hear the half of the second honey. It's just the way we're wired. God's got to say, Moses, Moses. Abraham, Abraham. Samuel, Samuel, right? Peter, Peter. It's got to be repeated. That's free. Little side note. Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. What made that ground holy? That personage that was in that burning bush. Who was in that burning bush? The Lord spoke out of the burning bush. What was his title? The angel of the Lord. What is the title of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? It's none other than the Lord Almighty, Jesus Christ, a pre-incarnate appearance before Bethlehem. Jesus appears. When God spoke to the prophets, what did he say? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. When God spoke to the apostles, what did he say? Matthew 17, 5. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed Peter, James, and John, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud, which descended out of heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. When God speaks to mankind, he speaks from above. And when God speaks to us, Luke 3:21 says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, when he also was baptized by John, when he prayed, that while he was praying, heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from where? Heaven, which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God's messengers deliver a message from heaven. And when God speaks, it comes from above. And that's a great thing. We also look in verse 2 that God's messenger, when he wants to deliver a message to mankind, it's a messenger of divine description. This is what causes the scholars to think that this messenger, angel, may be someone other than just a mighty angel. Look at it with me, verse 1. The other mighty angel that he saw, look, he was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. Now we start to get a glimpse. This is truly an awesome description of this divine messenger. Clothed with a cloud. That connects us immediately. Listen, whoever this messenger is, he's in great association with the Lord himself. Because when God spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai was covered in a cloud. Not only that, but when God watched over, protected, and guided the children of Israel through the wilderness, what did he manifest himself in? A cloud of protection. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when they saw Jesus transfigured before them, what descended out of heaven and covered them all? A cloud of glory. At Jesus' ascension, when he went back up into heaven, what received him back up into heaven? A cloud. At the rapture of the church, what happened? Or what's going to happen? When Christ comes, we are going to be caught up and received into the Lord's presence in a cloud. And at the second coming, how's that going to look? The Bible says that Christ will come with the church and the angels with him in the great second coming in a cloud. The Lord is always in association with clouds. Matthew 26, 64 says, Jesus said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of God and coming in clouds of heaven. I personally love this next one as it relates to the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be raptured or caught up. Remember what the Greek word is, anybody? Harpazo. In Latin, it's rapture. In English, it's caught up. We'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Daniel 7:13. Daniel says, as I was watching in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Matthew 24:30. Jesus said, the sign of the Son of Man before he comes to earth will appear in the heavens, and then all the tribes of the earth dwellers will mourn, and when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then it says that he has a rainbow around his head. You guys, I know this is kind of technical, isn't it? But you got to go through this. But you know what? This is the glory of heaven. We're going to see it. You might say, well, can't we move on to something more exciting? This is exciting. If it's not exciting, then I'm making it boring. But listen, this personage is awesome. If he's an angel, he's awesome. If he's the Lord, how much more awesome? The cool thing is John sees it all. And my friend, if you're a Christian, you and I are going there. We're going to heaven, and we will be given eyes by which we will see spiritual things. It's going to be fantastic. He has a rainbow on or over or around his head. Genesis 9:13. What's with the rainbow? Well, Genesis 9:13 tells us that God promised via a rainbow that he would no longer judge the earth without mercy. He would never flood the world again without mercy. God's mercy. Revelation 4, verse 2. Immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat on there was like a jasper, like a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne, and it was emerald in its appearance. The cloud in association with the Lord, the rainbow in association with the Lord, we see the connection, and we also confess that why there's confusion between this being a run-of-the-mill angel or the Lord himself. His face was like the sun. Look at it with me there. His face like the sun. Revelation 1:13 says, in the midst of the seven lampstands. You know in heaven there's seven lampstands. You all know that? Displayed there in heaven. By the way, they're displayed right here in the foyer. You can see them in the foyer. Have you gone through the foyer? I see some of you. You park your car. You come through the side door. And then you go out through the side door and you go back to your car. I mean, that's okay. But you ought to go back to the courtyard, you ought to mill around. And when you go to the foyer, there are seven lampstands there. You say, yeah, isn't that Jewish? No. Read your Bible. It appears in the Old Testament with Moses regarding the presence of God in the tabernacle. It doesn't appear again until the book of Revelation says that Jesus walks through the midst of the lampstands, which are the churches. Interesting, huh? It's the manifestation of God's presence among his people. So before you leave today, go through the center, walk out, say, yeah, I saw him, and then you can go on home. The Bible says here that the seven lampstands, Revelation 1:13, in the midst of them, there was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about his chest with a golden band, and his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass, listen, as if a refiner refined in the furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. That's like a roar. Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength, Jesus Christ. Matthew 17:2, as Jesus was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Then the Bible says, here that his feet look like pillars of fire. We read that a moment ago, but we'll read this verse. Revelation 1:15. His feet were like fine brass as refined in fire. Look what we see in verses 2 and 3, and that is he sends his messengers to mankind, and the message is for a divine duty. His message is for a divine duty. We see, first of all, in verse 1 that his message is by divine delivery. Secondly, his messenger is of a divine description. And thirdly here, we see that his message is for divine duty. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the land or the earth. and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. What is this? What's with the little book? The Greek construction, listen, this is technical, but the Greek construction of verse 2 of this verse demands the emphasis on not so much the angel's feet where they're located, but the fact that the book is not just little. There's something key. Did you pick it up? You should circle it. It's opened. The word implies that the book in heaven, this angel who has this book, it's not open. It is a book that is secret. It is a book that is held by God. It is a book that when it's opened has things in it, church, listen, that we're not allowed to know. You say, I thought the Bible has all the answers. It does. But regarding this stuff, we don't have any questions that are suitable to be answered in this time zone. God won't answer these questions that we have about the book. So I want to prepare you right now. Your footnotes of your Bible, maybe Zondervan or Tyndale or Wycliffe, you can read and it says, oh, hey, they're telling me all about the book. I've researched this about the little book. Nobody knows anything about the little book. Nobody. And when I did find somebody who knew something about the little book, the guy said that only Seventh-day Adventists know what the book says. But they're not allowed to, I'm serious, but they're not allowed to tell anybody what the book says. Oh, that's like me saying, I've got a million bucks, but I can't loan you any money. Yeah. What does that mean? It means I don't have a million bucks. I have $1.75 and four Altoids. That's what I have on my person. From that, you're free to borrow. But when you say, well, we are a group, we've been told what it's all about. No, you know what? Read the Bible here. Nobody knows. But the giving of it is for a divine duty. When he opened the book, it was in his hand. The event is that the fact that it's opened, that draws our attention. We can't avoid it. And he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. People, this is exciting because the Old Testament and during the times of Christ, during the times of the Roman Empire, when you conquered someone, an empire, a kingdom, the general that led the march, this is history. You don't have to read church history. You can pick this up on the History Channel. When the general conquered another empire, he took the general of that empire he defeated. They would lay the general down, and what would they do? Anybody know? They would stand on his neck. The general would stand on the neck of the defeated general and declare victory. You know how he did it? It's pretty awesome. John is being spoken to in a way and in a term that John would have understood. It was no secret to John what this meant, that when the angel stood on the neck, or I should say on the sea and on the land, what is he declaring? Anybody want to give a guess? With his hand lifted up, he shouts, yeah, absolute victory. John would have known this. Every reader and every Jew who will read the book of Revelation in the future, who knows their history, will know, oh my goodness, that means whoever this personage is announcing absolute dominion, rule, and reign by God. He's got, for those of you on this side, he's got his leg or his foot on the sea. And on this side, he's got his foot on the land. He raises his hand up to the heavens and he shouts, and it's a shout of victory. Why is that good news to us? Why is there a break here given to us by God? Because people, we've been marching through the book of Revelation. You got to admit, it's been pretty heavy. In fact, it scared some people away from here. I got a note, Pastor, can you let me know? Isn't it funny? Pastor, can you let me know when you're going to be done with this section of scripture? I can't take it. I'll be back later. Well, first of all, I don't know when I'm going to be done with this portion of scripture. But the thing is, what are you running from? Actually, what am I asking you for? You're here. The truth is, listen, God gives us a break. Why? To infuse into the story hope, grace, mercy. Because this portion has been such full of... You can clap for that. Hope, grace, and mercy. Absolutely. That is a big amen, and I love that. John is given an announcement from God. Infuse this hope, this grace, this mercy. And so this great stance of victory as this angel, this, I believe, the Lord Jesus is posed. Now you might say, okay, if it's Jesus, then he came back to earth and we didn't know it. John has seen this in the spirit, my friend. This is something that's going to happen in the future. And the fact of the matter is he's seen it in spirit. I don't think it's a physical approach I don't think it's a physical presence. John is seeing a vision of this thing taking place, translating absolute dominion. Verse 3, and he cried with a loud voice like when a lion roars. This is, I love the fact that scripture says in Proverbs 19:12, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion. With the opening of the book, he places his feet on the planet and on the sea. He cries with a loud voice, Joel 3:16. Are you writing these down? We got a lot more verses. Joel 3:16, see Old Testament. Joel 3:16, the Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. I love this. Maybe it's a guy chapter, I don't know, but this is awesome. It's a very military kind of thing. Jeremiah 25:30, prophesy therefore against the earth with all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy dwelling. He will roar mightily against his fold, and he will shout as those who tread the grapes against all the earth dwellers. Revelation 5:4. John says, so I wept because no one was found worthy to open this and read the scroll or to look at the scroll. But one of the elders came near to me and said, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. Who do we know that to be? Jesus Christ. So whoever this personage is, I believe it's Jesus, roars with a triumphant stance on the earth and on the sea, reminding his people, I'm in control.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio. In his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 1. Thanks for being here with us today. You know, When God Takes a Break, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series that takes a look at the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years,
right?
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer and non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people.
Yeah.
I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it.
Right.
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it. The new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.